So.
Not gonna be walking on the fucking pictures, you dick.
He is being a dick.
Cool. I know he is.
And it's not cool. He's trying to destroy our photos of deceased loved ones. Specifically disrespecting the dead.
Wow. That is a black cat.
I mean, he is a tuxedo cat. Yeah. He is a black cat, only slightly fancier.
Yeah, no, he's just a dick. Oh shit, Mattson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not why do you think me. I was like, I'm leaving all of this in?
Yeah.
Babe, before you go upstairs,
yeah,
can you hand me my gummy bears? Yes, my gummy bears. Because now that I've sat down, it's going to take me a minute to get up.
Gummy bear. I'm taking your nerd clusters.
They're just regular. Yeah.
I wasn't even going to take them, but... I should go wash my hands. Who the fuck eats like straight up nerds? You fucking
it psychopath. Was not what I had asked for.
You psychopath.
And I should have said no, but the person who bought the who like shopped for the groceries was like really insistent on the replacements she picked.
Okay.
So I was like, this is a losing battle.
I love you. Hi, Matt. I
love you too.
Hi,
Matt. Hello. He says hello. So. Yeah, my drive took a little longer than expected. Salem, those are not for you.
I've just been watching movies and doing laundry and stuff. I watched a did you ever watch the movie Long Legs by chance?
No, what is it about?
Like, well, I kept going on my phone. If that's any indication, like, I just couldn't get myself to really tune in. But it's ultimately about a young woman in the late 80s. And she's she's an FBI agent, because she's, like, not really used to being in the field or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she seems to have this sort of sense for evil or something. Couldn't really tell quite what the fuck was going on. But they start investigating these murders that seem to correlate to a man that she met when she was really young. Mm-hmm. And she takes a while to kind of put that together. Yeah. But it was really slow going. And then juxtaposed, like they had some kind of procedural, you know, FBI stuff. Juxtaposed pretty hard against some really strange cinematography and just like choices they made in the it kind of felt like they were trying to do a movie like Silence of the Lambs, just did it way worse.
Oh.
Yeah. No, not even way worse. It's one of those movies where like it wasn't even bad, like so bad that it was good, and it wasn't even really like bad. It's just kind of boring. And then the ending...
It just wasn't good. It wasn't bad, yeah, but it just wasn't good.
Yeah. And I had a number of people tell me, like, I had one person tell me they fell asleep during it. And it's supposed to be this spooky, like, thriller thing. And normally those grip me. And I just couldn't quite get into it. But I will say this. The ending... pulls things together pretty well, and is a relatively satisfying ending. And the like main antagonist is this almost you they're like very androgynous. You can't quite tell if anything about their identity really. But underneath it all, it took me two-thirds of the movie, to finally see it, but the way that like the gestures were happening, kind of like the way they framed their mouth and then like certain parts of their voice, because they kind of did this high pitch sort of thing that, which I think was part of the androgyny they were going for, is they talked in a very kind of strange higher pitched, you know, possibly feminine style voice. But there's a certain scene where they've got him in an interrogation room and he starts getting more menacing and his his voice lowers significantly. And I'm like, I paused it and I rewound it. And I'm like, is that motherfucking Nicolas Cage? I'm like, this whole movie? Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know any of the other actors in this movie. Well, I won't recognize
Nicolas
one yet, but...
Cage.
And I'm like, I paused the movie and I pulled up my phone. I'm like, that's fucking Nicolas Cage under all that weird shit. And then I was like, I kind of want to rewatch this movie now because I'm like, that I feel like it just shifted everything. But it was also a testament to how he kind of modified his mannerisms and like, because it wasn't even like a full mask. It was just like certain adjustments they made with like prosthetics. And I was like, bravo. Like I couldn't tell it was him for the majority of the movie. And then, yeah, right at the end, as he's getting more menacing, I was like, oh, I hear it now. I was so that honestly was fun. But
I would watch it just because it's Nicolas Cage.
Speaking
now that
of,
I know that.
Oh, my God. Speaking of, I'm going to type this in the chat because if you never have, you need to watch the movie. Oh, fuck. What is it now? I got to make sure I get it right.
I need to watch the one of him with my favorite human in the whole fucking world, Pedro Pascal.
Very
good.
Where
he's basically like playing himself.
Yes.
I need to watch that one.
I think you'll. It's another thing where it's like, I feel like it's not quite as good as you expect it to be, just in sort of the way they present it as a kind of buddy cop movie, but like Nicolas Cage acting as himself. But, I mean, like you said, Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage, it's just so much goddamn fun to watch. Especially with, like, Nicolas Cage is usually so over the top, and he's not usually like the straight man in a scene. And so for the whole movie, he's just like this kind of down and out actor who used to be a huge star, and he's just kind of depressed, and he's like, okay, this guy's going to pay me, you know, $30,000 or something to hang out with him for an afternoon. And so it's just weird to see Nicolas Cage just totally being the straight man to Pedro Pascal, who is doing a very unusual character for like what he normally does. Highly recommend it. It's a very fun movie.
Yeah. Mm. Sydney was saying that her and my mom watched it, and the part where they're like in the van, she like driving down the road, she just like could not stop laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. It, oh man.
Salem, why? He's in a box on the counter that we moved because he kept like screwing around with it, and now he's just.
He's a rebel.
Did he just scare himself?
He's like, fuck you, human. What was that?
What was that? I don't know if you heard that, but he just started like hissing at like himself.
I did not hear that.
And like a yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm making fun of you. He's staring at me down now. I think he's calmed down.
He's like, don't you talk to me.
Don't you talk about me.
Yes. Well, shall we get underway?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
hello,
we shall.
Hello, everybody. Yes, hello, everybody, and welcome to Peculiar Pairings. I'm a little bit tired again, but we're going to get through it.
Yes. I'm telling the boys about how...
As I young. I'm sorry, what? Okay. We're recording now, so.
This intro is going great. This should also stay in. Okay.
No, we're good. We're good.
So, as I was saying before I so rudely interrupted myself and then he walked in, this is Peculiar Pairings. Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to do it like a PBS podcast. Like, hello and welcome. Thank you for coming to our show.
We are here today to talk about true crime.
That's
welcome.
Right. The devious world of devils and dangers we are going to attempt to bring to life while we enjoy a treat. And well, we're going to get underway. My name is Matt.
My name is Selena. I'm sorry. I can't. Gabriel is standing across from me with his chef coat over his head, clicking his fingers together like the most devious man ever. Because I sounded evil when I talked. Oh, yeah, yeah.
With us today, of course, is the known serial killer, Gabriel.
He's You're and a serial what... killer now.
Yes, yes.
Anyways.
He's like, yeah.
You got one with chips and cheese?
That sounds like the most serial killer thing to just be like, so this is for you. I'm here to murder you. So anyways, are you hungry?
Yes, before you die, before I eviscerate.
Do you want some Taco Bell?
Would you like to try some of my previous victim? I've been doing that thing where you put it in sauce for days. What is that?
I've been marinating.
Yes.
Marinating.
I've been marinating bits of his brain in his own juice of the liver. So bon appetit, as they say. And then I will also eat you. But first,
I'll eat you later, but don't worry, it'll be with a different sauce. Mm.
And this, of course, is our little show where we have Celine tells us a story and we have some treats and we do it. So we thank you for being here. And, you know, if you could, we are doing our fundraising drive this episode. So if you could just check us out on Patreon and just, yes, that would be great. How lightly can I talk before it's just completely inaudible?
I mean, that's about there.
That's about, yeah, it's about right there. Right. I was going to say, the mic's still picking it up automatically, so like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
one of them was free. They get a free cantina chicken taco.
Crispy
chicken taco. That's for you.
Hell yeah.
That's all you, babe. Yeah.
Thank you for eating my face.
I mean, like, that wasn't a euphemism for, like, a deep kiss or something. He literally just, like, ate the top of your head.
Yeah. He does that.
That's, it's gotta... You're just like, thank you. That's love, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. That's love.
That is love. That is exactly what it looks and sounds like. Yeah, you know, maybe minus the cannibalism, but you know, he doesn't actually break skin, so Yet. Yeah.
That's his way of marinating. He's like, pretty soon. She's almost there.
Slowly but surely. Yeah, exactly. It will happen.
He was like, hun, that hurt. Ow! He's like, yes, your scalp is ripe for dining.
I hope not. If that is the case, then I hope to never ripen.
Yeah. Well, especially as
just
like
be like an avocado, go straight from like not ripe to unedible.
Yeah. They have a pretty tight window, it seems. And it's even like before they get totally inedible, like they start getting squishy like pretty quickly and is like, ew. Like,
yeah.
Avocados get gross.
They do.
But we are not having avocados this week. Celine, no, what is our topic for this week?
So we are talking about William Hurley, and this is a part one of what will be a part two with the smiley face killers next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We had talked about that previously. So
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, there again, we've never specifically covered them, but we've talked about them with other people. So we have, you and I with other people have talked about William Hurley specifically, haven't we?
I think so.
Like maybe even briefly as part of
kind of briefly as like one of the many potential victims in this case.
And when you mentioned him last week at the end of the previous episode, I was like, that name sounds familiar. And then I realized I was thinking of the character Hurley from the show Lost. And they're very different. Yeah. So that was, I'm like, I didn't want to look up anything about him. Like, there again, I want to react in real time. So I'm like, William Hurley. Will, I'm like, I just, nothing was coming to mind. So our pairing this week is not really based on a real life person, but our drink is a very simple coconut rum with coconut water. And I think I had a slight offness of the ratio, but the coconut water tastes more coconutty than I thought it would. It's but I also got one that's called extra coconut. So if you like coconut, I recommend it. It's been good so far. And then we got hot tamales, which for some reason I couldn't get off my brain. My dad used to eat them a lot when I was a kid. Sweet
coconut and hot spice.
I was going to say, I'm still kind of figuring out if they go together. But anyways, with all that being said, can you surmise why they are attached to this episode?
Hot tamales, because it's a hot case. And
it is a hot case.
Coconuts, the coconut drink, because, and this is a, such a stretch.
Oh, you're probably closer than you think then.
A little nutty.
Oh.
I went with a play on words. Yes, I did.
Very good. I like that. I like that a lot. No, I kind of hinted at it before. All I could think about was the character Hurley from Lost. And so I'm like, oh, if I was lost on an island, I'd probably drink a lot of coconut water.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like rum is just sort of a Caribbean thing, which they wouldn't necessarily have on a lost island. But that seems like a nice, simple thing, just like some coconut rum and some coconut water. Yeah. And then I just couldn't stop thinking about the fact that every episode in Lost, they look like they're just hot as hell. And I think they shot in, I can't remember where they shot, but yeah, it was just hot and humid. And so that was as far as my brain got, was it was like hot. And yeah, I feel like it didn't go the distance this week, but so far I'm not disappointed. Okay. Yeah. As long as it's enjoyable and we've got our little treat to enjoy the story, we're doing good.
Yeah.
We got there.
So our sources for today are Wikipedia, Oxygen, Rolling Stone, and Sportskeeda.com.
Sportskeeda.
And it is going to be a little bit shorter today just because there's only so much with his case without tying it into the Smiley Face Killers themselves.
Right.
Which we'll be talking about more. So, but...
Well, and considering
this was requested.
Oh, right, right.
So I definitely want to make sure that he gets his own little spotlight. Not that I don't think every other victim of the Smiley Face Killers should get a spotlight. They absolutely should. But since he was specifically requested, that is why we're having a little bit of a focus on William versus some of the other potential victims.
Gotcha. Well, good. So that's how we got here, and that's why we're focusing on him this week.
Yeah. So the year in our, just kind of going back with me, Matt.
Yes, to 1992.
2009.
Oh, I had a nine in there. Okay. I had a nine and a nine, two. Right. So yeah, I swapped them a little bit. 2009. Right. Nailed it.
It is October 8th. And young William was 24, enjoying life post-Navy. He was a Navy vet. And he was attending a Bruins game at the stadium in Boston with some friends.
Boston. Nice.
So we are in Boston.
Boston. We do love fucking doing Boston. Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you dick. You fucking asshole. Going to the Bruins game. Get the fuck out of my way. All right. Yeah, I got the mindset. We're here.
So.
Fucking asshole.
He left halfway through the game and called his fiance Claire LeBeau to come and pick him up, which she's not really, no one seems to be really sure as to why he like kind of just wanted to leave the game.
Yeah.
And mostly because I am of the mindset of if I am paying to go to a game, I'm going to be there the whole damn time.
Yes.
And I say this as someone who is a fan of the Rockies. I can see him on the shelf behind me now.
Yeah. He's like, I see.
Which is like the most losing team of Major League Baseball. This past year, they had the worst record ever in MLB history.
Oh, my. Not just for them, but in the entirety of the
MLB. In the history of Major League Baseball. So, if I am paying, I don't care if I pay $9 or I'm paying $30 or more. I will be there the whole damn time.
Yeah. I'm the same way where it's like, even if I'm
if not I'm sick, then maybe like it's different, but I'm going for the atmosphere. I don't, to be honest, I am not like the best person to like attend if you want to know what is going on with the game. I'm there to have a good time and vibe.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
As a matter of fact, my friends and I from college, we go to the Renaissance Festival once every year, and we usually go to some kind of sporting event thing. And soccer has been booming in the Twin Cities. They just got their own team called the Loons, and they're pretty cool. But I'm kind of the same way.
We have the Rapids.
And the Rapids?
Yes, the Colorado Rapids.
Okay, that's pretty good.
So like rapids when you're whitewater rafting?
Yeah, no, I mean, okay. I got it.
For anyone out there who did not get it.
And
I think the idea is that they're supposed to be swift.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's the
I like the loons, though. It's adorable.
Well,
loons are very big birds.
They are. Well, they got their red freaking eyes. They're cool and they're terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
But they're also very docile. Like, they generally don't care. But
they don't give a fuck.
No, they don't give a fuck. But my favorite part is the fans are called the Lunatics, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The Lunatics.
And I'm I've never been into soccer. I'm still not into soccer. But like you say, it's the event. Like, it's just going for the experience. And I do love any kind of thing that lets you accessorize. And I do love me a good scarf. And like, soccer has forever been associated with
scarves.
Yeah. And so you can go into their like gear shop, and there's just all these different kind of scarves, and they're very fun. So yeah, I'm like, I'm in for a beer and a brat and just like walking around their very well-made stadium and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Well, and then I don't know if it's every time they win, it might be every game. But the first time that we went, this really confused me. They always, I think it is when they win, the fans will stick around and everyone sings, Wonderwall, I think, by Oasis. I don't know how that started. I don't know why that's they do funny. It. Yeah, but my favorite part is everyone, they have the song playing during the like main body of the lyrics, but every time the refrain hits, they cut the song out and the fans just sing that part together, and then they bring the rest of the song back when it gets back to the lyrics. And I'm like, this almost feels like a cult thing, but I do like Oasis, so I'm like, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, the Germans understand how
scary. I like it.
Yeah. Is he talking about Germans?
I don't know.
He said something like, the Germans understand how something.
I am so unsure how I'm going to cut out all of that in the background, so.
Out. It's not like he said anything bad. He's just saying how much he likes the Germans. Which is fine, because now like they're all wondering. I've been on Reddit a bit, and a lot of people from Germany are chiming in and being like, guys, are you okay over there in America? Because you're kind of and the answer is a resounding no, we are not. And they're like, because we're all getting a little concerned. Like, we've kind of been through this before, and a lot of this is starting to feel a little nostalgic and not in a good way.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they think that we're collectively losing our minds, which I guess we are.
Yes. So, anyway. Like us losing our minds, William did not seem to be in his right frame of mind.
Oh, right.
Since when Claire arrived to pick him up at where they agreed upon he would be, he was not there.
Oh. I mean, he might just be bad at time management.
So she called him and asked where he was waiting, and he asked someone nearby, she could hear him in the background, And the guy said, oh, you're at 99 Nashua Street. Okay. So she's like, okay, stay there.
I was kind of expecting
I will come get you.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting you were just going to say, like, he never answered. But, okay, so at this time, he's currently okay. Like, he's just walking around. She's still trying to pick him up. Okay.
And he's telling her, he's like, well, just so you know, like, my phone battery is dying.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I was thinking, is, like, she just wouldn't be able to get a hold of him. But
okay. So she drove to this address, and again, he was not there.
Damn it, dude.
Like, it's not and cool. This time when she called him, his phone went straight to voicemail. So she's like, okay, his battery must have died. And she...
Like, that's such a weird situation that a lot of people who grew up in, like, the late 90s really can't understand. Because I was born in 85. And for a good chunk of my childhood, cell phones basically didn't exist. So we just had, you know, the wall-mounted home phone. And if people didn't pick up, you were just kind of fucked. Like, you know, they must not be home. I guess I'll find them when I can at some point. And nowadays, it's like, we all have a phone. We're constantly connected. So when someone doesn't pick up, like, it can be very alarming.
And yeah.
Like and if their phone dies, it's like, you're just completely cut off from everyone.
Even in 2009, even though that's, like, the beginning of, like, the rise of the smartphone. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have quite as much of that. People are still very connected because they have cell phones. So you can call each other on your cell phone. You're not like.
Yeah, we've been doing that.
It is a little more disconnected, but like compared to what we have now, but still very connected. So he was missing for 6 days.
Oh, my God. That is not funny. I'm only laughing just because I thought we were going to stick with his girlfriend a little while longer. Of like, I thought you were going to say, so he's been missing now for like 6 hours. And she's getting, we just cut to, he's gone. Okay, almost a week already.
He was found on October 14th in the Charles River near the stadium. And he had blunt force trauma to his head, one of his eye sockets, and one of his legs. Wow. So I'm saying eye socket specifically because that's more front of the face versus like top or back of the head.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Not all in one, one force trauma to the eyeball, like getting punched in the face. And okay, that is separate from whatever other head injury he has. And his phone was badly damaged. They did find it later at the second location at around 99 Nashua Street.
Yeah.
Which had, they believe that his phone was as a flip phone.
Oh, yeah.
Twisted and broken and then run over.
Jesus.
Because the extent of the damage, initially they looked at it and they're like, well, this wouldn't just happen from just being run over. Those phones
and certainly not from just stage
are so indestructible.
Yeah.
And there was scuffing and scratching that's consistent with being run over afterwards, but the twisting and separating of the flip part was very deliberate to destroy his phone.
Yeah, like, there again, like, it would be, they're hard to break just from dropping, like, if you accidentally lose it out of your hand. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can understand a car would definitely destroy it. But even then, it would be, like, broken kind of uniformly. It would just be, like, flattened. But the twisting, like, pretty unlikely that would just happen by accident. Like, that's a pretty deliberate sort of destructive act.
It is.
You see people do that in movies still, where, like, they had like a burner phone and they'll do the kind of, they'll do the crack and twist thing and then they throw it in the trash can.
Yeah. They did find GHB, which is date rape drug, in his system along with alcohol.
Okay.
And I will say that there is a normal level of GHB in everyone's system. That's something that does occur naturally within the nervous system.
Do you happen to know what that stands for? Growth hormone bullshit.
Growth hormone bullshit. I thought I had written it down, gamma, but I guess I did not.
Gamma hydroxybutyrate. Okay, I'm not gonna blame you for not having that one off the top of your head. Gamma hydroxybutyrate.
Yes. Damn. So it helps with like the general functioning of the nervous system, but when there is then too much of it, that is when you get the effects of date rape drug.
Gotcha.
And I think the thinking behind using it is that, oh, it occurs naturally in the body, so like they're never gonna find it. They can. Mm. You can tell when you're they can see that your levels are elevated and that's not normal.
Right. Yeah. They're like, we know what like the general like line is for humans, and this is way over that.
Yeah. They can test for it.
It is kind of amazing that there always seems to be someone, especially in TV shows, of like, it was almost the perfect crime because this toxin is completely undetectable. Then it's like their only mistake was they left the milk carton open or something. And it's like, no, I'm pretty sure we have a pretty good grasp on what is normally in a human body.
Yeah.
So we're pretty good at finding like anything. And there again, even if it is something that's, right, even if it is something that's generally present in the body. Yeah, we can tell when it's supposed to be like 1 milligram that's in the body, and this is like 150 milligrams is now there. It's like, yeah, that's fucking
yeah. Looks so, like murder. The theory police had after they found him was that he must have stumbled through the stadium parking lot towards the river and accidentally fell in.
This is ringing a bell now.
If you remember, this is a lot of the stuff that we covered with our episode about the drownings in Chicago.
Yep.
That happened, I want to say the last one was 2021, was the last one of those. It was either 21 or 22.
So he's potentially connected to like two different, you know, like possible sprees, essentially, of like there's
potentially
of, yeah, so it could be linked.
I will
to
say in my opinion, which granted we are not, you know, investigators, this I would say the similarities are it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, so it must be a duck.
Mm-hmm. And ducks do go in the river.
They do those fuckers
begins. Those what are you going hard at the ducks real quick? The who's fucker.
Okay, to be fair, we do have a duck that likes to swim on the pool cover.
Shut
we
up.
Have here.
That's just when you started it collects that sentence, like a little bit. Yes!
Oh it'll collect a little bit of water and he'll just like chills in there.
It's adorable. When you started that sentence, that's exactly where I wanted you to go with it. Like, yeah, he just we got a duck who's
sometimes there's two.
That was my next question. I'm like, is he always alone? Because then that's just
sad. No. Sometimes it's just him. Sometimes he's got a companion.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl. Yeah.
They like. I don't know if ducks are a species that mate for life or not, but he.
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, I guess I don't know if it's a duck wide thing, but I'm pretty sure like mallards. I think generally ducks do mate for life. So then he's always like, why weren't you here yesterday? And she's like, leave me the fuck alone.
He is a mallard, so I'm going to see. Oh. It says, most ducks do not, but do mallards.
Oh, God, my dad would be. Oh, yeah. My dad would be.
No, they do not. Damn they it. Have seasonal monogamy.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe. Okay. And you okay. I'm. I'll
they form new pair bonds that typically last for a single mating season. And that forms in the fall, but the male leaves the female once she begins to incubate the eggs in the spring.
He's just like, I'm done. My work here is done.
So the male mallards are deadbeats.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, when she starts incubating, like when she, so when she's already
when she's sitting on the eggs.
Yeah, when she's at her most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable. He's yeah. like, jeez.
Yep, I'm out. Gotta go find me another one. Wow, yep. What an asshole.
Yeah.
I have been so wrong about everything related to ducks.
That's okay.
Yeah,
their theory is that he accidentally fell in the river and drowned. And they did look at surveillance video, and you can see him stumbling like through the parking lot and just generally struggling to stay upright, which is very typical of GHB. They would probably argue that that is, because he drank too much, because same thing happens when you do drink too much and you're stumbling around.
Right.
I will say, for any sort of date rape drug, the issue with that is that what typically happens is someone will have one drink or two. Some like an amount that does not affect them. They're not stumbling, right. Barely can stand upright type of intoxicated.
Yeah, they're at the point where they're like just getting buzzed.
0 to 100.
Right.
Off of one beverage.
Right. And I suppose that's kind of what these types of predators are trying to do, where they're like, well, we were at a bar, you know, and they were having drinks. And it's like, well, yeah, you dropped a thing in there that makes their like drunkenness accelerate. So, yeah, everybody else saw them come in and have a drink and a half. And suddenly you have to carry them out because they're that drunk.
And to have GHB in your system, regardless of what the outcome of it is, the point of it is to incapacitate somebody.
Exactly.
It is. Yeah. So his death was ruled as an undetermined drowning. Okay. And it was connected later to more than 10 young men around the same age drowning in the Charles River under mysterious circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, if it quacks like a duck, does it sound like a serial killer? Then it might be a serial killer.
It might be. It might be. It's. I suppose that's one thing that works against them in terms of someone who kills like by the river is that there is generally not going to be a whole lot of evidence. And like fingerprints and stuff on the person would probably be washed away by the water.
Yeah.
And then the body could be moved by the water itself. So it's hard to tell like the origin.
Yeah.
It's pretty crafty. And like you say, if it is one person, that's a pretty good way to go about it, I suppose.
It is. And the thing that gets me with William Hurley, and I don't know if this happened with any of the other men that of a similar pattern, is that they didn't believe that there was foul play.
Okay. Even with the busted up eye, Or the trauma. The eye
had trauma and one of his legs were like, well, he fell down, so. And like look.
He fell down.
I am not the most stable human being. I'm not physically sturdy on my feet.
Are you about to admit to multiple murders, Celine?
No, I am saying that someone who falls down frequently, granted I'm very good at falling.
Oh.
I do not hurt myself like that.
Nice.
I'm not like coming home with like a black eye, banged up head, and like a bum knee because I fell down.
Gotcha. Okay. I genuinely thought you meant you were going mentally unstable. Like, look,
no, I'm as not a someone very who is physically unstable walking around and like trips over the sidewalk.
Yeah, you're like, I get it. I get the potential like fall damage. But like you said, you're good at tumbling. Like you
avoid it. I mean, as you saw, or as multiple people saw, me falling at my own wedding.
Yeah.
I am very good at it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was the dress. Come on.
Yes, but still.
But
I can say that seems pretty suspicious to me to have a whole bunch of stuff that's like, yeah, this person definitely had some sort of altercation, and they're like, oh, but there's no foul play. It's like, okay, we can't rule out that it wasn't. Like, do you have evidence of him getting in a fight at the stadium and then leaving and being like, okay, those are separate incidences? Mm-hmm. Or knowing, no, he showed up to the stadium like that.
Well, and it's, you
chances
also
are no.
Right. You also have to think that clearly he's not the only person that has fallen in this river. So how many of them can you confirm were like accidents? that have injuries that kind of line up with his. And it's like,
yeah,
did he fall on a bunch of rocks or something? Like,
yeah,
those are, yeah, generally, I feel like that's a, it, like you said earlier, it looks very much like an injury that would be caused by a punch to the face.
Yeah. So initially, William's mother, Lynn Martin, had disregarded the theory of the smiley face murder for it. There's smiley face killers. Mm-hmm. But after speaking with Kevin Gannon, she did end up changing her mind. And for anyone who does not already know, the Smiley Face Killers is an alleged network of unknown serial killers. Could be one, could be more.
Oh, right.
That murdered college-aged men and then dumped their bodies in local waterways. So lots of rivers. And there's almost always a smiley face symbol near the death sites.
Yeah, yeah. I keep forgetting about that. I do remember, though, we went back and forth on that quite a bit when we talked about it in the past, because some of them were, if I remember correctly, some of them aren't super nearby. Like, I think one of them was, yeah, like a couple miles or something, and it's like, that's not necessarily in the vicinity. It's like, I guess it's in the same city, but it's not an impossibility, but it does, yeah, seem a little less consistent, but still intriguing.
Yes. To me, what is more intriguing is the fact that it's men of about the same age, right, being killed and dumped in like a very similar fashion. To me, that's what's more interesting than like whether or not there's a smiley face near there.
For sure. Yeah.
It's the fact that these all sound connected because the MO is the same every time. So, Kevin Gannon and Dr. Lee Gilbertson did meet with forensic toxicologist Sabra Botch Jones to kind of get a little bit more about the toxicology report from the coroner for William. Mm-hmm. And they found that he had 15 micrograms in his system. So definitely that elevated GHB level.
I was going to say, not quite the 150 I was talking about, but still, yeah. The baseline is usually like one or two.
Yeah, when the baseline's pretty low, that's a lot.
Exactly.
And they also met with forensic pathologist Dr. Elizabeth LaPusada and an underwater forensic investigator, Rhonda Moniz, and just kind of discussed the method of his injuries, the area where he's found. And Dr. LaPusada does not believe that his injuries were due to a fall.
Right.
And she believes that they would have happened before he died. So definitely not something post-mortem, that it happened while he, right, was still alive. Just based on kind of how the injury site looked, yeah, post-mortem when they found him 6 days later.
Yeah, that is one thing that I think a lot of people overlook in terms of like forensic sciences, where people are like, ew, it's about like looking at dead bodies and stuff. But it's like you can learn so much by understanding, mm-hmm, how like blood pools under the skin and stuff. So like they can tell like if the skin had started trying to heal already or not. So they're like,
yeah,
no, yeah, we know he was alive when this began. Or when,
or like how bruising, even just like how bruising is different on someone who is alive versus someone who's recently deceased.
Right. Yeah.
Even that can be different. And they do believe with him, as well as many others involved in these types of killings, that he was dumped shortly after he was murdered. So I think it was like within the first 24, 48 hours is when he was then found in the river. So he hadn't been sitting in the river for like 6 days.
Yeah, yeah. So it was actually a pretty quick progression from the crime to discovering the evidence.
Yes. So, and I think the thing that's also really disturbing about it is the fact that, like, if he wasn't killed until like the fifth day, Where was he for 5 days? Where did he just disappear to?
Yeah. Because,
just think of him being, like, locked in somebody's, like, basement or something, and I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Or in, like, a trunk or something.
Ugh. Ew.
Yeah.
And the thing that really was intriguing to Rhonda Moniz was that he had supposedly entered the water near Nashua Street, but he was found further upstream than where he would have entered the water.
That's going based
off of where Claire said he was, where she was supposed to pick him up the second time and where his phone was found, and that he was then upstream. And as far as I'm aware, you can't travel as a dead body upstream.
That's what I was just going to question you on. I'm like, are you sure you didn't mean downstream? Like, no, he went. I mean, maybe it was a night of some strong salmon spawning and they carried him up the...
They carried him up the river.
Yeah.
So...
What time of year was this again? October? Oh, October. Probably not then.
So the theory is that he either was like abducted or he was murdered there and then moved or he was just dumped in a different area.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he was near the river initially. Someone assaulted him and then brought him back to the river. Oh yeah. Cause he was gone for 5-6 days.
Yeah.
Before they found. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It's also possible that he could have been dumped even further upstream. And then where he ended up was downstream from the initial spot.
Well, and I wonder if they calculated in the possibility that that time of year, the water's probably going to be pretty cold. So maybe it helped slow decay. So like their sense of when he actually died might be a little harder to determine.
And that's very possible. I am not a forensic scientist in that way, so I would not know. So that's definitely a possibility. Is that the temperature of the river could have, especially because this is Boston that time of year. Yeah. So
that's a big river, Boston. Not Boston.
They did conclude that there would have had to have been some other human interaction that contributed to his death and not falling in the river.
Right. Which I feel is immediately apparent just by the happening to somehow get upstream from the previous location.
Yeah. And.
Or it might have been a really big pigeon from the park that carried him away.
That's a giant pigeon carried me away.
Hey, you know how them pigeons are up in there in the, you know, New England area.
Goddamn. The fucking rats with wings.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about. Like fucking ducks, but worse. And we know how ducks are. Yeah.
So the Boston Police Department has received a request to look at his case again. This was shortly after. So I don't know if they have had that within recent years, but I want to say it wasn't too long after his death, maybe a couple years that request came through to look at his case again. It was then passed to the Massachusetts State Police, and I don't know if it has been just sitting in there or if I am sure that they are investigating it, but it's also difficult as a cold case.
Right, yeah.
And
it might have gotten looped into other like series now, so they're maybe not focusing on him specifically as much.
Yeah, and I will say, definitely listen to our episode about the drownings in Chicago, and we're going to talk more about this next week, but he is not the first person to disappear in Boston, and he is not the first person to be found floating in the river as an accidental drowning.
Definitely not.
He was not the first, and he will not be the last.
There again, it's Boston. We just got out of a Bruins game. Somebody's falling in that fucking river again.
I mean, maybe they're falling in the river, but maybe they're not being drugged into sedation and then falling in the river or being shoved, beaten into the river.
They're I mean, just it going
is Boston.
I was going to say they're just going in, you know, of their own accord because they're just so pissed about the end of the Bruins game. They're like, why can't you fuckers just get somebody on base? Goddamn.
And
then just like, I'm going in the river.
And say that is all I have for now on William Hurley, and we will definitely talk about this more next week, as well as many others, as we talk about the smiley face killers.
Yeah. Do this might be a weird question. I think we had talked about this before. Is this in any way related to? Oh, this might have been on the West Coast, but I remember at some point we brought up a story about feet that ended up like showing up on some shore somewhere in the
it was in like Canada.
Oh, that yeah, it was on the West Coast.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about this. Yeah, it was on like the West Coast of Canada.
Yeah,
or like Washington, I think, in a few areas. They were getting, I think, because it was like near Vancouver,
right?
And Washington, parts of Washington and like the northern areas, because it's like right there.
And if I remember, they were often found in shoes.
In the shoes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like the 1 foot. It's.
Yeah.
Okay, unrelated.
They had no, I think they, to this day, have like no explanation for it still.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I remember us talking about is like, absolutely no. We've got some theories. We've got some theories that we're tossing around, but otherwise, no fucking idea.
No goddamn clue.
Just no fucking clue. We, a lot of Nikes. That's all we got. Well, thank you so much for the evidence, Drew. We hope that you were satisfied. You know,
I hope so.
And you know, if anyone tried the pairing, let us know what you thought. Go on Instagram and give us a shout. Celine, what did you think of the pairing? It was a very heavy pause.
I like them both. I feel like I'm still trying to figure out like what I think of them together. I don't dislike it. I am slightly just uncertain. And so I just like kept trying more because I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I will say this. I was expecting the hot tamales to have more of a fireball effect. I didn't eat them a lot when I was a kid. Like I said, my dad enjoyed them, and I think I would occasionally have one or two.
I remember them thinking they were always hotter as a kid.
Yeah, and so I was kind of expecting there to be more of a contrast between the drink and the candy, because one is specifically meant to have a pretty strong heat to it. And the first few that I had really did, but kind of like what you were saying, I kept trying them, and the more I ate them, the more I actually really liked the hot tamales. End up with a really sweet flavor to them that I never remembered as a kid. And so the two together is almost too much sugar. Although I will say, if you're a coconut fan, definitely try some coconut rum with coconut water.
Yeah.
That was way better than I expected it to be. That was
I definitely enjoyed that. I'd probably give that like a solid 8. Yeah. And then I'd probably give this hot tamales like a 7, and then together like a 6, just because I'm just unsure.
Yeah. I would probably give the tamales a 6 on their own. Together, I might say 6, because the drink for me was more of a 7. I think if we added a little bit of like whiskey or something, just like half a shot, or something, it would
something kind of to like count. Cut down the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah, it was more sweet. I was expecting the coconut. The last time I had something that was described as coconut water, it was very, very watery, obviously, but also very bitter. It was not sweet at all. So that's why I thought these would kind of work together. The coconut water that I got this time was quite sweet. It was closer to what I would describe as coconut milk than like coconut water that I've had before. But honestly, just on the touch of the being too sweet side.
Yeah.
But you know,
I mean,
go ahead.
I would say definitely not the worst pairing we've ever had. So
no, yeah, it's a you know, they're all hit or miss. This one's a solid grounded ball to first base.
I agree. Not,
yeah. He got you off, he got you off the plate. But, and
But you know, it was not that grand slam you were hoping for.
No, far from that. And but it, you couldn't get caught out immediately. Like that's the nice thing about a grounded ball is that, you know, they can't just catch it out of the air. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's at least getting you running. If not first base, then you had a good time. Yeah. Still considered a hit. Okay.
Absolutely.
And yeah, speaking of being a hit, Drew has been sending us a lot of suggestions. And anyone else, if you're listening, you can send your own suggestions to peculiarpairings@gmail.com. You can message us and find us on the app formerly known as Twitter at Peculiar Pair Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Peculiar Pairings Pod. And please check us out on Patreon.
Yeah, and we are all over the place. I love a good suggestion. So definitely send that our way.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you can't throw any dollars towards us on Patreon or whatever, just take a few seconds and give us a like on whatever app you're listening to. Give us a quick review. It helps a lot. So thank you. Thank you in advance, because we know you're going to do it.
Yes.
They always
Yes, thank you in advance.
And if you don't, you're going to make us very sad. So I'm going to try to guilt you. Yeah.
I'm going to go home and cry every night.
Don't make Celine cry. That's my job. Not to make you.
I'm not a pretty crier.
No one was saying anything. Like, how you just took that upon yourself. I'm like, I look so bad when I cry. Like, no.
I want the visual of them to think of me being miserable and then just like not looking good doing it either. So that
it does add a little bit more like of a pathetic view. I mean, it's true. Yeah. Did you ever watch the very first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire and when Uncle Ben dies?
Yes, and it's like uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he's not a great, like, he's a great crier. Like, as an actor, he did that well, but he's not a pretty crier.
It is not a very
rough.
Yeah,
but he's distraught. You know, he's sad. Mm-hmm. So that carried across on the screen very well. It's just, didn't take
it's not to good to look at. So, you know, share us with your friends so that you don't have to think about that.
Yeah, don't make Celine cry. Send me hate mail and try to make me cry. That's what I meant when I said it's my job. It wasn't my job to make you cry. It's my job to try and cry. Nobody's done it.
I mean, we're cousins, so I mean, if you make me cry, oh well.
Oh. Wait, oh well?
I mean, I will forgive you eventually.
No, I just thought like it would hurt more because you're like, I have to see you at some family event at some point.
No, well, I get over it. I'm a tough cookie.
Well, now that I know that that door is open, I'll have to take more advantage of it and make you cry whenever I can. Oh, God.
I hope it is a laugh cry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
I would
that's
like
a
that.
Good cry. Yeah. And I would normally ask you what we're doing next week, but we already talked about it. It's going to be a part two. And the Smiley Murders.
Smiley Face Murders.
There it is.
Sorry, Smiley Face Killers.
Ooh. You ever watch, what the fuck am I doing? Ghost in the Shell. I believe that was part of one of the TV shows. They had a smiley face something.
Ooh.
It was more of like a hacker, though. Like, it was in an era when everybody has augmented brains and stuff, and so you can broadcast stuff into their brains. So this hacker always had a smiley face symbol over his face. So even if you were live in person and you looked at him, you would only see a smiley face thing. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's very interesting. The amount of anonymity.
Yeah, because you could just walk around in broad daylight and nobody knew who he was. It was a pretty good storyline. But anyways, speaking of storylines, this one has to end. And might have to go to sleep because I'm tired.
Yes.
But we appreciate y'all listening and we will see you next week.
Yes. Okay.
Bye-bye.
DCI McAllister.
Listen, something's come in. 33-year-old male, name of Andrew Fairfield, found dead a few days ago.
As you know, I am doing a psychological study of the crew here on the base for Keone Industries to help them understand and improve base life during winter.
His body was found at the bottom of a small ravine, about a 30-minute walk away from the Antarctic base he'd been working at.
You know, life on the base means, well, it's close to 6 months without light. That does things to people.
That study that he was doing, to watch us and then set off us like mice around this special little experiment.
He told me he was there to stress them out.
You know, he was secretly recording people.
Drew clearly talks shit on his recording. Some of it was true, some of it was his opinions.
I can't sleep, I can't close my eyes, knowing that someone among us did this.
Nobody's getting to the base, and nobody's leaving that base for months. The investigation is going to have to be done remotely.
How many people are on this base?
16 on this one. Someone amongst them is our killer.
Experience Cold Tapes, the murder mystery podcast game. Figure out the killer for a chance to win £10,000. Start your investigation at coldtapes.com. T's and C's apply.